Guide us, O Christ, to discern who we truly are. Stir us from comfort and call us out into the wilderness with you that we might learn of truth. Challenge us to look beyond what we understand, to leave the safety of the boat and step out in faith. Guide us, O Christ, that we might discover who we can be with you at our center. Amen. So last week, as I was getting things ready on Sunday morning, I had a great chat with Eric as he was getting ready for his Bible study. We were talking about the power of faith, and we were talking about it in the context of the parables that we talked about last week. And he reminded me of a comic strip that I'd seen some time ago. Basically, it captures an aspect of our society that's both troubling and accurate. In the first panel is someone driving around in a car, and in a little thought bubble above their head, it says, "I wish I had a nicer car." They pass by a person on a bike who has a thought bubble themselves and said, "Gosh, I wish I had a car." That person passes by someone at a bus stop, and that person at the bus stop thinks, "Gosh, I wish I had a bike." And as the bus drives down the street, it passes someone on a bench who's thinking, "Gosh, I wish I had enough to ride the bus." It's both a commentary on our society and an invitation for people to appreciate what they have. The attitude of scarcity is one that infects all of our lives, because many are the times where our knee-jerk reaction is, "I don't have enough. Sorry, I don't have enough money. Sorry, I don't have enough time. Sorry, I don't have enough experience. Sorry, I just don't have enough." Our culture has trained us to be people constantly in need, constantly lacking, despite the fact that we live in a culture, in a country, where we have relative abundance and security. Granted, not everyone is in the same boat. Not everyone is living with the same understanding of abundance and security in this life. But for the most part, for most of us in Fredericton, for most of us in Canada, we have more than we need. Now, it isn't that we are greedy, no good so-and-sos. We've just been trained to look at the gap of what we don't have, often ignoring what we do. And know at the center of this is not greed or lust or avarice. It's actually something more insidious, something more damaging both to the individual and to the community. It's fear. The idea that we might not have enough of something to share with someone else, be it money, time, or energy, is more about us not having enough left over for ourselves or for our family. The attitude of scarcity is so bad that it isn't even that we don't want to give of ourselves to support something or someone. It's worse. Because deep down, we want to be part of the solution, and we feel like we can't help. That's how bad it is. And it's fear that drives this attitude of scarcity. And that fear acts like a wall between us and the rest of the world. It is a fear that whispers into our ear that to act is to risk, and to risk is to inflict harm on ourselves. Worse than that, fear tells us that the harm that we might incur is somehow more valuable or worth avoiding than harm to another. That we should avoid being harmed ourselves at the expense of the other. All of this talk of fear driving the attitude of scarcity comes both from what we can easily see in our society. We can see it. And we can see it in our religious communities as well as secular ones. But we also see it in the society of the time of Christ, It's not new. It's persistent. We see it clearly in the reading today, in both stories actually, where fear takes the center stage, getting in the way of living a life that is inspired by something deeper. And yes, a life where risk is a regular part of daily life. Risking for the other. The first part of the reading is a familiar one. Jesus has tried to get away from the crowds after teaching. He finds this large crowd, has compassion for them, heals them. It's late in the day, but the crowd is both large and hungry. Immediately, the disciples seek to make the problem not theirs. And who could blame them? It's over 5,000 people, 5,000 men plus women and children. Of course they don't have enough. But in that moment, Jesus called them to another way, and he does it pretty abruptly. He says, "You feed them." Not only did he instruct the disciples not to send anyone away, but he told the people to sit down. He asked the disciples to take stock of what food they did have, which, in the disciples' defense, wasn't much. 5 loaves of bread, 2 fish. It isn't likely enough to feed over 5,000 people. And yet we know the story. We know that those 5 loaves and 2 fish weren't just enough. Somehow it ended up being more than enough, to the point that the leftovers amounted to about 12 baskets. We hear this story and we think it's a miracle. This is something that Christ was able to do because of his nature. He was the Son of God. He was God. And so he was able to accomplish this feat. But not the disciples on their own. Not us on our own. We're not enough. But again, we're falling into the same hole that the disciples did. That the risk is too great. That we just don't have enough. That we just aren't enough. Fear holds so much sway in the decisions that we are making. Fear at the center takes away our opportunity to serve. The point of this first story is to show us that even in those moments when we think that we are seriously lacking, we find that there is much to go around. But then the question arises, is this a story about a miracle that Christ performed on the shores of the lake, multiplying loaves and fishes to make something small into something great? Or is it a story of Christ opening the hearts of those present, making a home in their hearts, tossing fear from the center and placing faith there instead? The truth is, it's probably both. Some preachers and theologians suggest that people shared what they had as the food was being passed around. Food they weren't initially willing to share, that they held back. But when they saw what others were willing to give up for their neighbor, they gave of themselves. And so, there are 12 baskets left over. I like to think that it's that combined with the movement of the Holy Spirit, the power that Christ had and showed to the people, what the opposite of living in fear looks like. What living in hope, living in faith looks like. When we take fear from the center and replace it with faith, with Christ, and allow ourselves to be inspired, empowered to serve, what might first have seemed impossible and risky ends up being something amazing. The second half of our story at first seems like something else entirely, but it's actually quite similar. We trade wilderness for water and boat, thousands of people for a few close friends, and a lack of food to a lack of faith. What the story of the bread and the loaves and the fish illustrates in a powerful metaphor, the story of the disciples on the water spells out directly. It's actually one of my favorite stories, as you probably well know. I've preached on this Jesus walking on water, Peter walking on water a number of times since I've been here. We know it well, just as well as we know the story of the feeding of the 5,000. Christ is walking out on the water in the morning to meet up with his disciples who he had sent along ahead, and the boat was being battered by waves. They're overcome by fear, by seeing this person on the water, thinking it's a ghost, rather than seeing the Son of God for who he was, the man who they'd been journeying with for some time. It's only Peter who has the courage to step onto the rails of the boat and beyond, because his faith in this man was so strong, because Christ was at the center of his being, at least until the winds got too strong. But again, is this story about Christ and Peter miraculously walking on water, or is it more broadly about those impossible things made possible with Christ at our center? In both of these stories, the focus is often on the miracle, but what we should see is the turning upside down of how people lived. Like many of us, the people in both stories are driven by an attitude of scarcity, not enough food, not enough faith. And both are proven wrong when their starting point is Christ rather than fear. In both, Jesus brings people to the edge of who they think they are and shows them who they can be. Because the other side of the coin of scarcity is abundance. And when fear no longer has hold of us, those walls that we thought were insurmountable become stepping stones to the place where God is already at work. Living abundantly isn't just about appreciating what we have. It's about taking stock of who we are and seeing the ways that we can build up the world and those around us with our gifts. Living with Christ at our center isn't about losing who we are. It's about discovering who we are. As Christians, as people who follow the way of Christ, we should hear these stories and see where we are in them. When have we been the disciples who say there isn't enough food? When have we been the followers overtaken by fear to the point that we cannot see Christ standing right in front of us? As people of faith, those called to feed the hungry, to clothe the naked, to heal the sick, we have to find a way to purge our vocabulary of not enough. Not so that we can empty ourselves to the point of destitution, but so that we can allow the abundance of God's grace to pour over us and spread from us. So let us hear the call of Christ and place our faith in Him at our center. Let us see this community of faith as a place where Christ is calling us to live into those impossible things. Those things like feeding the world, like healing the broken, like walking the impossible way. May we be empowered to do these things because we are reminded that Christ already did these things. May we be surrounded by that same Spirit that guided Christ in life, through death, and into new life. Because even when we feel like we're standing on the edge of who we think we are, Christ breaks into our lives and reminds us that the edge that we're afraid to step off of is just the beginning of who we can be with Him as our guide. May we live a life that is filled with faith in Christ, focusing on the abundance and the gifts that we have, the many blessings that guide us in this life. Let us share these blessings and our faith with one another. Amen.